a Christian and human need. We as Christians do not live in a vacuum. We live in this world surrounded by a group of human beings with various talents and various needs and various drives. We react to them, and by our reacting, they react to us. How should a Christian meet the needs of his fellow human beings? This is the topic that we are going to think about during this week's lesson. It's an extension of last week's lesson. Last week we learned that we should labor and plan. We should have the drives and the prudence and wisdom to plan. This week we are thinking about how those plannings can fit in with human need. There are the needs of self. We have needs. There are needs of our immediate family, wife or husband, children, mother, father. How do we meet those needs? Then there are those with whom we work. We meet with them maybe 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week. Then there are strangers that we meet in store, in office, in building. Further away, there are the poor, the helpless, widows, orphans. And then there are the oppressed, Christian believers in communist countries, East and West, in concentration camps. How are we to meet human need? Part one, material resources. We can help to meet human needs by utilizing those resources that God has given to us. We've already studied that He has given us power to get wealth. He's given us health and strength, talent, ability, opportunity. As we fit in with all the drives and forces of which we are capable of mustering, we gain money and resources, knowledge, skills. These material resources we can utilize to help others. Charity begins at home. How do we take care of our relatives who are in need? That's where we begin. First of all, our families. Do we support them well? Do we help to meet their needs? Now, we're not talking about wants, not luxuries, but basic needs, food, shelter, clothes, education. We can go through the family. How do we help the church? There are various offerings by which we can take care of the church and its needs, and the church stretches out to go into lands afar off. The Lord maketh poor, He maketh rich. He bringeth low, He lifteth up. What the servant of the Lord is saying here is that God is in control, and if He makes us rich, it's with a purpose that we may be co-laborers together with Him. God takes responsibility. He gives to us strength, intelligence, life, and we are to use this to be a blessing to others. The tendency, of course, apart from Christ, is to exploit man, to take advantage of the poor and needy for personal gain and personal wealth. The true Christian studies how he may use his material resources for the blessing of others and the glory of God. Part number two seeks to answer the question, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? The emphasis is on personal contact. The Lord brings each of us in touch with a circle. Generally, it's not a very large circle. You look back a year or two or three of your lives and see now how many persons are touched by that life of yours. Is it 25? Is it 50? In a personal way, not in a professional way that you deal with a few moments and go, but in a personal way. And out of those that you meet, with how many can you sympathize and empathize so that you can help them? This is a study we should give. Now, in this question of neighbor, the word neighbor literally means a farmer who lives next to you. It's an old country Germanic word. It's used several times in the Bible. For example, the Israelites were to consider the Egyptians their neighbors. Now, you know the relationship of the Egyptians with the Israelites in the bondage. Yet God, through Moses, says they are your neighbors. You also know the relationship that existed between Saul and David. David was a neighbor of Saul's. And then in the New Testament, the Jews and the Samaritans. Jesus lifts up the Samaritan and makes him the hero in the parable of the Good Samaritan, to define and focus upon the neighbor. The neighbor is one who comes near to you at a time of need. And the realization of need is the call to service. So we identify our neighbor as the one who is near us, with whom circumstances bring us into personal contact, with whom we can share a word, a fellowship, friendship, Christianity, and our material resources. Now, in order to do this, we must seek to manifest the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the ideal Good Samaritan. He comes from a home into a foreign country. He meets up with those in desperate need. He runs risk himself. He invests himself. Now, there are warnings given in the second part of this section that we must spread no false reports. We must return things that we have found to their owner, and act in a generally kindly, helpful, cooperative spirit. Part number two, liberality. The first two syllables, liber, means free. Liberation is another word that comes from it. Liber means free. Liberality means free sharing. The liberal soul, open, free, with no or few inhibitions, opening heart to heart and mind to mind and spirit to spirit with the ones in need, sharing the blessings that God has given. And the liberal soul shall be made fat. It's not talking about money. It's a liberal soul. It's one who shares his personality, shares his points of view, shares his friendship, shares his time, will get rich rewards. Now, of course, that also applies to sharing your money. If you cast your bread upon the waters, it'll come back. If you sow your seed, it'll bring many fold back. He who shares will receive. He who hoards will lose. The second part of this lesson, of this section, emphasizes stinginess versus the generous soul. So let us seek, by the grace of God, to cultivate those attitudes of gentleness and generosity that he has given to us. Part number four, rebuke for greed. Greedy is to gain more than we can use. A greedy man becomes fat and he becomes unhealthy. He has eaten more than he can use. And this principle applies to every kind of relationship. If we want more than is necessary, more than is adequate to maintain life in its fullness, then we are greedy. We accumulate more than we can possibly employ for ourselves or the blessing of men. Let us examine our souls. Part number five, recognizing need. We need to be on the alert. We need to be open. What does this soul really need at the present time? We should pray that God will give us the insights necessary, the discerning of spirits. We are not to parade our gifts. We are not to look for applause. But as we are observant, then the cry, the please help me cry, of even a critic will speak eloquently to our hearts. Part number six, here we have an example of the Macedonian churches. When Paul was at Troas, he heard the heart cry of Macedonia, come over and help us. And at the first opportunity, he crossed the sea and preached the gospel and gave the help he was able. He says, he could have said with Peter and John, silver and gold have I not, but such as I have, I give to thee. Now later on, these Macedonian Christians not only gave their own hearts, but they gave rich resources to the churches in Jerusalem in response and in appreciation for all the good gifts that Christianity, through the Apostle Paul, had given to them. So those who receive must give again. And let us remember that human need is to be met by humans, inspired by the Lord Jesus Christ and His Spirit, to help wherever need is discerned.